Grit LLC, its founders and owners.
Get ready for truth bombs and guidance from conservative leaders and entrepreneurs, from God-fearing, freedom-loving, truth-telling, patriotic Americans. Welcome to Patriots with Grit. Now let's jump into today's episode with your host, Darren Ross.
Well, today we have one of the world's leading experts on the psychological aspects of terror on children.
And they call her the terrorist therapist.
We'll be right back with today's guest, Carol Lieberman.
Wow, it's so soft and smooth.
It's cool to the touch. How did you do that?
Well, we took MyPillow's patented fill and combined it with this new technology that we didn't have back then when I invented MyPillow to bring you the best pillow in history, MyPillow 2.0. Because of all of you, MyPillow 2.0 has been a huge success. And now we're bringing you our best-selling go-anywhere MyPillows with the same temperature-regulating technology. Made with my patented adjustable fill and brand-new cooling fabric, they're truly the next generation of MyPillow. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to save over 60% on our MyPillow 2.0 four-pack special. You'll get two MyPillows and two go-anywhere MyPillows. Regular $259.92, now only $99.98. King size, just $10 more. This is a limited time offer, so please order now.
Dr. Carol, thanks so much for being on the show today with Randy and me here at Patriots with Grit. We're kind of taking a little bit different approach today on topics. I know we've never really delved into much to the 9/11 and to the terrorist subject matter here on Patriots with Grit. We thought it'd be a new... Kind of a fresh topic, Randy. What do you think?
Yeah, especially with a lady that's called the terrorist therapist.
The terrorist therapist. What a great name. And you're also the host of Dr. Carol's On the Couch with on voiceamerica.com, I believe, correct?
Yes.
So talk to us, Carol. Tell us how you became and you got the name the terrorist therapist. I mean, that's kind of
that's intriguing. A specialty.
You've been at this a long time. You do forensics. You do all kinds of what I would call kind of pretty cool stuff for us guys here in the Midwest. So tell us a little about your career and what you're doing.
Okay. Well, as far as the terrorist therapist, a name I trademarked, by the way, it all started when 9/11 happened, and I am a born and bred New Yorker, but at the time I had already moved to California, but my heart is still in New York. And so when 9/11 happened, I was really very much affected by it. And I asked myself, what can I do to help Americans, really to help the West, with this phenomenon, you know, terrorism, that is going to be affecting us for the rest of our lives? Now, I know a lot of people in America have gotten complacent about terrorism. They think, you know, 9/11 is done. We don't have to worry about terrorists anymore. And all of that, but we do. So I asked myself, what could I do as a psychiatrist and an author and a television commentator and so on to help people deal with the impact of 9/11, but also be prepared for future attacks? So I started doing a number of things. You know, I made an audio visual program for airlines. They played it on domestic and foreign airlines to help people relax, because as I'm sure you remember, people were very nervous to fly after 9/11. And I did a hotline, and then I wrote a book that became the 1 year anniversary edition for England. It was published by a London publisher, and it came out on their first year anniversary of their 9/11, which was 7/7 in 2005. That's when it occurred. So it came out 2006, 7/7. And I went over there and I spent a couple of weeks and so on at the ceremonies and the, you know, all doing all of that. And that book was called Coping with Terrorism, Dreams Interrupted. And then since then, I've been doing speaking engagements. I've been doing therapy, of course. I've been doing media engagements, and primarily trying to warn people. I mean, yes, helping them with 9/11, especially on the anniversaries, but also warning people about the fact that terrorists didn't just, you know, decide one day, let's do a 9/11. This is something that for thousands of years, or at least 1,000 years, it is their plan. you know, is what they're taught. They're taught jihad in madrasas and all that. And so, you know, I know it's been a little quiet during the lockdowns for COVID and all that. I mean, it's been quiet in America in terms of terrorist attacks, although there have been some that the mainstream media does not acknowledge or talk very much about. But there certainly have been terrorist attacks going on all over the world, in Europe, in France, in England, in Germany, Belgium. I mean, these attacks are going on, Africa, all over. And they still are very much intent upon taking over America, instilling Sharia law. And so we can't forget about this. We can't be complacent about this.
Well, you're focusing, the book that we're going to talk about later, your book is focusing on the children. What came to your attention, and how did you start seeing, what did you start seeing with kids maybe from back in that time to kids now?
We're talking like a whole generation. I mean, we're talking 22 years. That's
kind of give us a feel for the generations.
Yes. Yes. My most recent book is Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. And I chose to do that because I was realizing how the most affected people are the children. And in fact, you know, the children of that generation, you know, who grew up with parents who had been alive on 9/11, absorb their fear, absorb their anxiety and so on, their helplessness, their sense of helplessness, which is why I believe that a lot of people in that generation are much more amenable to socialism, to a nanny state, to someone to take care of them. Because when they were growing up, they didn't feel as though their parents, even though, I mean, I'm not saying that the parents didn't try to take care of them, didn't try to take their parents, but they were very much affected by 9/11. And so the children grew up to be afraid to go outside, some of them, to be afraid of how something unpredictable can happen at any moment, which is what happened with 9/11.
So what are you seeing with them? What are some of the symptoms that you're seeing? I mean, parents, are they bringing kids to you now because they're having issues with terrorism, maybe even like school shootings? They hear about it on the news.
Yes, you're talking about like PTSD. So things like school shootings can bring about trigger memories from if they have post-traumatic stress disorder from 9/11. Something like school shooting could trigger those memories and make them feel very frightened again. I mean, I think that some of the problems that we're seeing now are in children or teens, or, you know, up to 22, presumably, that they can be related back to 9/11. And actually triggered by the unstable state of the world. You know, not like a school shooting where it's more very specific, but just for all of us, you know, we're all kind of triggered because, you know, we went through the lockdowns and the whole COVID thing. And we came out of it expecting a new world. It was going to be everything was going to be new, you know, like coming out of the tunnel. And we really don't have a new normal. We don't really have a new normal. Everything is in flux. We have, you know, Russia that invaded Ukraine. We have all kinds of craziness with the political environment in America. There are just all kinds of things that are really so up in the air, such an upheaval. And so it's very, and people were doing things during the lockdowns, you know, that I was starting to say that there haven't been terrorist attacks in America over the last few years. And largely that was because during the lockdowns, people weren't being in groups. I mean, the terrorists couldn't go to a concert, for example, and set up a bomb and kill a whole lot of people. Of course, now we're kind of coming out of it. Maybe, you know, maybe it's permanent. So there's a lot of, you know, that's why this is kind of getting to a whole other subject, but the younger generation is so lost. You know, that's why I was going to start to say why it's been so easy for teachers and social media and so on to convince them to become trans or to become non-binary or, right. you know, to do all of those things because they're looking for an answer. They're depressed. They're lonely. They're confused. They don't see a future. I mean, that's really the thing. And not just the kids. I mean, a lot of adults, you know, don't see, they, especially kids when they didn't go to school, but even adults have sort of lost, a lot of adults, not everyone necessarily, but a lot of adults have lost that feeling of working towards a future, of building a future, because it seemed like, you know, there wasn't going to be a future when the mainstream media made such a big, made such a big deal over COVID. I'm not saying it wasn't a big deal, but I mean, you know, with putting the statistics up all the time. Right. Terrifying.
They were pushing fear.
Right, exactly.
We're not going to slap you on the hands for talking about the media either. So if you want to talk about the media, you're good for that.
No. I mean, no, not for that. But like, you know, a lot of people did lose loved ones. So I don't want to be callous, you know. So I mean, it was a big deal, especially to certain people who you know, or lost businesses or lost all kinds. I mean, we all lost things for that matter, some worse than others.
Well, Dr. Carroll, I want to rewind back pre 9/11. I mean, you've obviously been at this for quite a few years. What would, did you just wake up one day when you were graduating high school or college and say, hey, I want to be a psychiatrist and do forensics? I mean, what drove you down this path? Because it's kind of a fascinating area of topic and study, in my opinion.
I don't know about it is.
But I mean, what would drive you to go down this career?
What on earth? Well, it started when I was about 8 years old, and I read a book about the first woman doctor in America. And of course, she was having a clinic in Chicago, and I have an office in Beverly Hills. But hey, we won't mention. We don't have to look at that. But I mean, I treat patients of all walks of life, especially in forensics. As an expert witness, because, you know, that affects all different kinds of people. But anyhow, so that's when I decided I wanted to be a doctor, a medical doctor. And then when I was a teenager, I read Freud's Interpretation of Dreams, and I totally connected with that. Now, I was an only child. So when I went to school and started mingling, like in kindergarten, with other kids, it was an overwhelming experience because I didn't really, you know how other kids thought. I mean, I had cousins and I had some play dates and all of that, but that's very different than being all of a sudden in a class and a school and all that. So my mind was working overtime to try to figure out what these little things, these little kids, what they were thinking and how to be liked and how to, you know, fit in and how to, well, I don't know that I ever wanted to fit in, but how to be liked anyway. And I just got really interested in trying to figure out what people were thinking and feeling. And so then as a teenager, as I was saying, I read Freud's Interpretation of Dreams, and I really connected with all of that. You know, it was like he was the more sophisticated version of what I was trying to figure out. And then, I went to medical school, and in Belgium, by the way, I lived in Belgium and in Paris. And then I came back and I had to do a sub-internship in various specialties and an internship. And then I did my psychiatry at NYU Bellevue, which is like the place, you know, to do psychiatry, because you get to see all the patients that the other places in Manhattan didn't want to deal with. They would send to Bellevue. So it was a great place to learn. And at Bellevue, I spent one of the years, I spent a part of my time in their forensic ward and with a wonderful psychiatrist who ran it. And that's how I got interested in forensics. And so, I spent in my last year of residency, I spent some time at Anna Freud's clinic in London. So I had an excellent background, And it was always in my, it was always my intention, even before I went to medical school. I mean, I knew I wanted to be a psychiatrist since I was a teenager. So I, when I went to medical school, I was, you know, planning to be a psychiatrist. And I always knew, at least when I went to medical school, that I wanted to be like Joyce Brothers. I wanted to be the new Joyce Brothers. And in other words, I wanted to reach people, not to be like, you know, I thought I could maybe do better.
Right.
I'm trying to do better. But I mean, the sense of trying to reach people on a larger scale, help people on a larger scale than I could ever do if I was seeing patients 24/7 in my office. So that is, so that's, you know, so then I, after residency, I came to Los Angeles and I was working and I eventually I opened a private practice, and I also was doing a master's in public health, where I studied, I did, I had an NIMH grant to do research in how to use the media to help people stay healthy, stay mentally healthy, and prevent mental illness. And, you know, so it's just kind of gone from there, where now, you know, in, I mean, I used to talk about all kinds of things. I used to have a column in the National Examiner, and then I was promoted to the National Enquirer. Okay. So,
ooh, isn't that a bad step?
No, well, it depends how you look at it. I mean, the National Enquirer has more readers, but anyhow, I'm just trying to make the point that, you know, I talked about whatever, because everything, I mean, even if you're talking about, let's say, divorce, Hollywood divorces, you know, seemingly trivial kinds of topics, you're really trying to, you're helping people by analyzing the people who were getting into all these various problems. So like my the title of my column was Hollywood on the Couch. So I would analyze various people who were getting into various kinds of problems. And so celebrity had it was being talked about or written about in that issue, then I would do an analysis of them. So it was still really helping people, but I'm trying to make a distinction that in more recent years, as our country has been going to hell in a handbasket, I have been focusing more on, especially like I guess you could say from 9/11 on, and increasingly, I have been focusing on things about how and why our country is going to hell in a handbasket, and how I can try to wake people up to it.
Well, Dr. Carroll, I'll tell you, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about kind of the time frame between 9/11 and COVID, and then post-COVID from 2020 to where we are right now, and just to kind of get your take on that from a psychiatric standpoint, and what you see on the horizon for not only our country, but for this new generation that we're raising right now in kindergarten on up. So when we come back, I want to address that if you're okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, write that time down.
Where are we?
We didn't play the music, but that's our commercial break.
What's the time? Hit the time. About one.
We're low budget.
About seven. Yeah, we're doing all right. 17:30 to 18:10. Yep. Okay. Is that okay? Kevin? Is that a good segue?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Where are you located?
We're in Missouri. You're outside of Kansas City.
Oh,
yep. Yep.
Okay.
You ever been here?
No.
You just fly over us, right? You just fly back and forth, back and forth.
I would like to visit every state.
We're here. Do you want to bring up anything with her?
Just bring us back in and, well, let's go down that road and then I've got some questions.
Okay. All right, here we go. All right, so we're back with Dr. Carol Lieberman. She's been talking about, things going on in this country from a psychiatric standpoint. Dr. Lieberman, I want to ask you, you know, from a, you know, we had 9/11, that was 2001, and then we're up, you know, to 2020. Now we're into 2023 with COVID. What do you see has gone on and has happened with, you know, not only the emotional health, but the, you know, psychiatric and psychological health from, you know, our generation and our kids' generation post 9/11, and then right now in the COVID era? What do you see happening, and what do you foresee going to happen in the future as we continue to raise our kids and grandkids in this, what I call post COVID era?
You know, I wish I could say something encouraging. Well, there is some encouraging news, but I mean, right after 9/11, that was a good time. I mean, it was horrendous, but I mean, in this country, it was a good time in the sense that people became more patriotic, and tons of people ran to join the military, and because they cared about our country and they wanted to protect our country and all of that. And so it was, you know, even though something incredibly shocking and horrendous and all of that had happened, it actually had a good effect on us. I mean, well, it had a good effect in terms of making us more patriotic. It had some bad effects that we're still dealing with. Like, for example, people started comforting themselves with comfort food, you know, like pizzas and chocolate and all that, which still hasn't stopped. It continued with the lockdowns, right?
I think he's talking to us, Randy.
Yeah, I think pizza so.
And you forgot the McRib. I mean, the McRib is in the Midwest. You know, you can't, you know, they got to have the McRib in there with pizza and chocolate. You know, you may not have the McRib in Beverly Hills, but by golly, we have it here in the home of barbecue, Kansas City. Go ahead.
McDonald's had a McRib for
that's it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's coming back November 13th, by the way. A good friend of mine owns 37 McDonald's, and I messaged her the day, said, hey, when is the McRib coming back? She said November 13th, so we did the countdown. I'm sorry to deviate. Sometimes my ADD kicks in, and I take our guests off course.
But we might have a customer for you.
We're gonna reel you back in here, so let's get back on track here.
Okay, so anyhow, there are lots of things, you know, PTSD, as I was mentioning before, and anxiety and depression, and, you know, it has had, and mainly the main problem from it that is still affecting us today also is helplessness, as I alluded to in terms of how the children growing up after 9/11 were affected, but it was also the adults. And the big problem with that is, I mean, it's bad to feel helpless altogether anytime, but it's particularly bad now because we have let Biden, I mean, we have done things that really are not what Americans did before. I mean, we were smarter before or felt more in control before. And so now we let a president, we voted somebody, well, maybe we voted somebody in as president who's, you know, dement, who has what I called at the time that he was running from his basement. I was trying to warn people about how he has what I called encroaching dementia. And it has encroached, as you, I'm sure, both realize, everybody realizes that it has encroached to a ridiculous amount. I mean, I don't think he's going to last to the election of 2024, mentally and physically. But anyhow, but just imagine, you know, it's okay. So we know, I mean, everybody knows, they've done full polls, and more people recognize that he has dementia, or he has some problem with his brain that's, you know, causing him to make all kinds of mistakes and fall down the airplane steps and all of that. But the thing that speaks to the helplessness is the fact that even though we all can see that, people are still planning to vote for him. I mean, it is craziness. That is, I don't know, what diagnosis would I give that?
Well, that's what I'm getting ready to say. You got a whole line of people that need to come see you.
Well, Dr. Carroll, I mean, as long as we're talking about Joe Biden, we do have the Joe Biden prop in the studio. And people say, what is that? And I say, this is a Joe Biden candle. It's limp, it's crooked, and it's burned out. So this is right here. So I hope I didn't offend you because, you know, you're in Beverly Hills, and sometimes people in Beverly Hills, we get, you know, they think differently than we do here in the middle. But this is the Joe Biden candle prop that we have here in the Patriots of Grit studio. Are you okay with that?
Yes, I'm very okay with that. Absolutely.
Crooked, limp, and burned out. So I didn't want, again, I'm taking her off track, Randy.
It's okay.
So let's get back.
But I mean, that is why, you know, why it's so much worse that this helplessness from 9/11 has continued to today, because we're allowing our government to be taken over. I mean, first of all, we voted in Obama, which was the beginning of the mistake. Mm-hmm. And he is controlling Biden. And we are just going further and further down the tubes.
You know, before the show, Rain and I had conversations, and I'm going to confess, I'm not Catholic, but I'm going to do a confession right now. I said, man, I don't know about having Dr. Lieberman on. Randy, she's from New York. She's in Beverly Hills. I don't know her political beliefs. But now I think you're kind of pretty much
on board,
aligned with us here at Patriots with Grit, especially since you like the Joe Biden candle with his crooked lip and burnt out.
That was the test.
But it's interesting to hear someone like you talk about how basically these administrations are doing all these nefarious, underhanded activities, and they just want the American people to forget what has gone on. And I never knew up until 2020. I was a staunch watcher of the news, of Fox. My wife would watch World News Tonight or Good Morning America. You know, I read newspaper. I believed 90% of what I was being told, being seeing, reading. And then after COVID, it took about 3 days for me to figure it out. I'm like, man, something's just not right here. It's just something smells like, my words were exactly, something smells like a rat. It took me about 3 days to figure it out. And ever since then, I've just noticed that the media is on this whole different path and this different agenda to take people off course. And it's still concerning to me how many people, where we are, our what we call conservative Christian friends, are still led down this path or just kind of like led by the nose, like, you know, leading an animal to slaughter or whatever. They just still believe what they're told on the media. And it's highly, highly concerning that they have that much power and influence over our people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the thing is, there was a time when you could trust whatever media outlet you were watching, for the most part, to be, you know, they're supposed to be fair and balanced, right? But now, you know, now there are still the same production values, you know, there are still the same anchors or anchors who look very authoritarian and so on, except for the ones on CNN who look 12. But for the most part, they're made to seem somewhat authoritarian. Anyhow, so
with their 12 viewers too. I mean, you forgot to with their 12 viewers that they have out there. So
I mean, people, you know, don't notice that this is different. And yes, that is very, very dangerous because the White House, you know, the connection between the White House and the mainstream media and social media is just making this a very hard battle to fight. Now, I mentioned that there are some positive signs. I mean, like, for example, today, you know, there are the hearings about Biden and his taking bribes and so on. And so, you know, there is headway in the House, at least. So that is a big help. But there are a lot of things that we have to rise up and do something about.
Well, in your perspective, you know, we kind of started this off, you know, talking about the effects to children. So my personal thought is, when I look at my kids who are, you know, in their 20s, it's like they know something fishy is going on, but they don't invest the time to really know.
Because they're so distracted.
I know.
All the social media and all this stuff on TV. My wife and I were watching last night. I don't mean to interrupt you. My wife was, I don't know, she had on... And we rarely watch TV. She had one show on America's Got Talent. And it was some goofy thing where they were doing this contest with people were all dressed up like, you know, Furbies or whatever. I don't know what it was. But anyway, I'm like, I said, look at this nonsense that we're seeing right now on TV. I said, think how many years. I mean, my wife and I are in our 50s. I said, think how many years we've all been distracted with all this garbage that's on TV, on mainstream media. And I said, they're still doing it. And I said, and you have it on. And I think, and I don't know, maybe it's just me. Correct me if you think I'm off track or wrong. I think social media has now kind of started to turn on itself, meaning I think they've censored so many people, they've shown and not shown so many things that I think even people that were more middle of the road or even on the liberal side are starting to wake up and say, something's just not quite right here. This censorship thing, all this stuff we're seeing as distractions, America's going off the rails. And I think a lot of it has to do with the social media companies. Give us your take on
that. No, I agree with that. Well, I mean, primarily TikTok. I think TikTok should absolutely be banned. I watched the congressional hearing with the CEO of TikTok. Oh, God. You know, I think if everybody watched that, or at least a portion of that, where he was squirming, you know, and lying and trying to get out of, I mean, I must say, and it was a bipartisan, people had done their homework and they were really asking him good questions. And he was just squirming all over the place because, you know, because they were right about the things that they were saying. I think TikTok is the, what did I call that? The, this like the spy balloon.
Right.
It's the spy balloon of China, the Chinese Communist Party. And I mean, it is not a coincidence that it is more addictive, actually, than any of the other social media sites. And that's not a coincidence because they are trying to get kids, first of all, to be paying more attention to that than their schoolwork, just in general. They're showing them things that are really destructive. People are on there, even, you know, either people pretending to be therapists or, you know, like they don't have any credentials, or even people with some credentials but aren't necessarily correct, you know, giving the right information, or doctors, or people pretending to be doctors. I mean, you know, anybody watching it really just is letting themselves in for a whole bunch of misinformation. In the meantime, you're glued to it. And that is taking time from other things you should be doing in your life, especially like kids and teenagers. All this time that they're spending on TikTok and social media, other social media, instead of playing sports or taking dancing lessons or, you know, studying, reading, you know, all these things. And that's how China, that's one of the ways that China's kids are getting ahead of ours. They don't show the same things to the Chinese kids as we get to see.
Maybe we ought to come up with our version of Talk Tech and send it over to China.
That's interesting you said that. I didn't really realize that. I mean, not that I thought about it, but I never really thought about the fact that, you know, China's not showing that to their own, but they're showing it to ours to get them distracted, to keep them off track.
Yes. I mean, they have TikTok in China, but it's more educational kinds of things. In fact, I asked the CEO, do your kids watch TikTok? And he said, well, my kids are in Singapore, I think it was. He like skirted the question, you know, and he didn't really give an answer, which is kind of what he did. And then somebody said, I mean, one of the congressmen said, you know, it's perjury, or there's a law. If you lie to Congress, that can be very serious. You know, he was lying. So I'm waiting for something to happen to him, you know, waiting for him to be charged.
Right. You know, we've been talking about 9/11, but I also want to talk about, because Darren and I had this discussion. My kids are out of school. His daughter was she a freshman when COVID hit?
She was a freshman, yes.
She basically was kind of screwed out of her whole high school career because everything was altered from the normal.
Or screwed out of, or screwed up with.
Or screwed up with, yeah.
You know,
how are you seeing what's the side effects of this whole thing?
Yes.
Their learning went down?
Yeah, huge. First of all, obviously some schools had Zoom. You were supposed to have classes on Zoom, but lots of kids in lots of circumstances that the teachers weren't able to see you, you know, so they didn't know if you were really watching it. You could put it on your computer and then go to sleep. And kids were doing that. Mm-hmm. Or they were playing with their iPhone or, you know, doing something other than paying attention to class, because it is true that it's hard to really, it's not the same as being in person in a class, with a teacher right there, you know, giving you homework assignments or asking you questions and so kids lost their eagerness, their love of learning. And I don't know that they've gotten it back, you know, I was just reading a study about how kids are spending hours on their iPhones. I mean, not that that's a surprise, but even in school, and they're watching porn and they're watching violent media and they're looking at betting sites, all this while they're in school. So they've like learned, they've tuned out is I guess the best way you can say it. They've tuned out, whether online with the Zoom during the lockdowns or even now sitting in class.
I still can't get over the fact that you can have cell phones in class. I can't believe they don't collect them at the door.
Yes. Yes. I mean, that's crazy.
And then you can take the test and retake the test until you get pass the test. It's just over and over and over. And I think we're graduating dumb kids, to be honest. So we're super excited here at Patriots with Grit because this week we had some new toys, gadgets, and gizmos shipped into us here at the studios. But first, we have a question. What are you going to do when the power grid goes down or cell phone towers stop working and you're unable to communicate with your friends, family, and loved ones like you're used to doing with your cell phone?
You're not unless you have a satellite phone. You're really going to be stranded and up a creek without a paddle. Satellite phone connects to the Iridium network. That's the same network that the military uses and covers 100% of the Earth. Then there's the bivvy stick, which you can carry around, and it will convert your normal phone to a texting device.
So if you can see the sky, you can make calls and or text. You know, traditional cell coverage is only about 7% of the Earth. No one can listen to your calls, no one can track you, and it's the most secure way to communicate from satellite phone to satellite phone. Plus, all your text messages are secure, and no one can read them other than the person that you're sending them to. Plus, you don't get any ads and nonsense sent to your phone. Everything's 100% private. So all you have to do is visit sat123.com/grit. That's sat123.com/grit. Talk to them about getting you and your family set up on a satellite phone today.
You know, I'm sure you've seen different articles about different schools where they, some of the parents say that they don't want grades. They want it to be pass fail or just no grade whatsoever. I mean, hello. It's like you get a ribbon for participating. I mean, our education system has really gone to pot.
I think we ought to step up our education system and make it more militant and just start teaching kids how to be resilient instead of to being just cowering and everything being given to them and not knowing how to survive in society when it gets tough.
Right, right.
Well, I'm glad you said that you think it's going to pop. I mean, that's Dr. Carroll, that's really how this podcast started. We started out, what, a year and a half ago, going on 2 years? We started out interviewing conservative school board candidates in our small town. And that's how this podcast got its legs.
Well, it spread into Kansas City, too.
It did. But then we have had so many great, great experts on nationwide around public education. We have a gal comes on every 6 weeks from your great state of California, Rebecca Friedrichs. She's an expert in teachers union. She's a retired teacher. And just the number of guests we've had on to expose what's going on in public education, which they call government schools, is just astonishing. I had no idea. I had no idea until COVID started with the masking that what was going on inside the school doors and under the roof of the school buildings. It was absolutely shocking to me. And we got in, like you said, all the trans stuff and, you know, closets where you can go and change. It just absolutely
sit in your kitty litter.
It amazes me.
Yes, the furries and kitty litter. I know. Of course, the schools tried to deny that they ever put the kitty litter there, but they did.
I had somebody tell me from another school district just this past weekend in Northeast Missouri, they had to put a litter box in. And she was a staff member.
Well, that doesn't get much more Bubba and rural than Northeast Missouri. I mean, that's Bubba and rural there, man.
But the thing is, how do administrators even come close to thinking this is normal?
I don't think that they do think it's normal. I think some of them just want to keep the parents happy, or some of them are just, you know, they're following the leftist agenda.
Wow.
And breaking down the family is one of the number one things that are on the agenda of Democrats. And because, you know, the more, I mean, you know, just look at another thing is there, Biden is spending money like he's giving it away. I think I'm going to go to the White House.
Yeah, no kidding.
Knock on the door and say, you know, I would like some money for something. And you know, trying to get some, because he's just like finding things to, I mean, of course, Ukraine, but besides that, finding things to give money to, because he is trying to make us broke, go broke. And of course, then we're dependent upon China and all that. And when you think about, you know, this whole bribery thing between Ukraine and China, I mean, imagine if it comes out, I think it may well come out, that the only reason why we're in this with Ukraine and giving them billions and billions of dollars is because they have something on Biden. You know, they have him. They're. He doesn't want that to come out, and he's beholden to them. And same thing with China. I mean, you know, I don't know if people I mean, you guys obviously do, but I don't know if the majority of people think that through. Like, they're thinking of, oh, they're, you know, they're trying to find out if Biden had anything to do with this, but they're not like thinking through all the pieces. Mm-mm. Like, we might be getting poorer because he's giving all these billions of dollars away to Ukraine and to Iran, you know, our terrorist enemy, Iran, the biggest state sponsor of terrorism, and just lots of other things. I mean, something, what was it? I was something reading something today. It was like something crazy that he was just giving money to. It's like he doesn't care what he gives money to as long as it's going to break us.
But he does, because he won't give any to Maui and he won't give it any to our homeless people or homeless veterans.
Yes, but he will give them to these people coming across the border.
I mean, that's a whole other thing. Totally.
I don't know why we're not. Why there isn't a crowd of people at the border, Americans at the border,
locked and loaded.
Exactly. I mean, that sounds terrible. People are just saying, she's a psychiatrist. No.
We got to stop the bleeding.
Well, we got a psychiatrist with common sense. I mean, that's what we like that.
I mean, I'm not saying that they should just randomly shoot everybody.
No. So
deterrent. There would be people there with guns. I mean, that's what the Border Patrol is supposed to do, but there aren't enough of them.
Yep. You know, I'm going to jump over to your website for a second. You've got this advertising truck or billboard truck or whatever. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yes, I am very proud of that, actually. I don't even know. I started this 3 years ago. This year was the third year I did it. And I started on the 20th anniversary, and I was just fed up with the government trying to make us, by the government, I mean Obama and Biden, trying to make us forget 9/11 and trying to make us think that January 6th is the worst terrorist attack on American soil.
Oh, that's that asinine.
And so I created a video, a music video, patriotic music.
And you can find that right here. If I get it, my... Yes.
Right. That's my website, terroristtherapist.com. If you didn't see the truck, you could go there. I had the trucks going around Ground Zero and Washington, D.C. And it's a combination of, you know, there are scenes of why you should remember, why we must all remember 9/11. Then if symptoms you might get on the anniversary of 9/11, things that might be triggered, how to talk to your kids about terrorism, just a whole bunch of different, you know, looking at it in a bunch of different ways. And towards the end, I have shots from Afghanistan, and it says on the screen, one of the reasons for why, or the most important reason for why you shouldn't forget 9/11 is because he who forgets history is doomed to repeat it. And then there's the shots from Afghanistan. And of course, Afghanistan was the biggest mistake that the Obama-Biden White House made. I mean, they're not only trying to get us to forget 9/11, forget about terrorism, forget about radical Islamist terrorists. You know, they're calling parents at the school boards terrorists. That's who you should worry about. Conservatives are terrorists, according to Obama and Biden. You know, but don't think about radical Islamists as terrorists. And so I just, you know, it was my way of trying to do something to acknowledge 9/11. And then trying to get, you know, shine a light on some of the realities of it.
So is that on the truck itself, you're showing the video?
Right.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your book here. I've got it pulled up on the screen. When did that book come out?
It came out in 2017.
Oh, so this is not a brand new one.
No, it's not brand new. And the first half of the book is for parents and teachers, any adults. It talks about how they can understand their own feelings about terrorism so that they could then talk to their kids about it. And then the second half of the book is a picture book for the kids, you know, to be shared with the kids. And it has things like There's a big bully on a playground. So it's like, what is a terrorist? A terrorist is like the big bully on the playground. It has something, it has Osama bin Laden's picture. It has talk about the shoe bomber and the underwear bomber. Can you imagine someone would put a bomb in their underwear? You know, I cover all the important things, but not in a way that terrifies them. Also, there are places for them to draw and express their feelings about certain things. And because that's the key for parents, whether it's about terrorism or COVID or, you know, some other scary stuff in the news, the key is to get kids to express their feelings about it.
So does this, and you may have just said this and I missed it, but so this helps the parents also talk to the kids about situations they might have, the kids may have saw on the news that freaked them out.
Well, it focuses more on terrorism, but some of the, like I have 88 things that parents can do, you know, to make their kids more resilient to terrorism, but really it could be any kind of terrorism, the terrorism of living in America today, you know?
Yeah.
So yes. It can be broadened for that.
For those of people that were just watching, if you're just listening on the podcast, the name of that book was Lions, Tigers, and Terrorists. Oh my, how to protect your children from terrorism. And I know you've written some other books too, Dr. Carroll, correct?
Yes. My first book was called Bad Boys, Why We Love Them, How to Live with Them, and When to Leave Them. You see, I've gone from bad boys that you date to bad boys who are terrorists.
Oh my gosh.
So Bad Boys, and then I also wrote a book, Bad Girls, Why Men Love Them and How Good Girls Can Learn Their Secrets.
Well, tell us real quick for our viewers where they can find you, a little bit about your website, if you have any social media platforms that you'd like people to follow you on as well.
Sure. Well, so that website that you just put up was terroristtherapist.com. And then I have a website for my expert witness work, which is expertwitnessforensicpsychiatrist.com. And then I have drcarole.com, drcarole.com. And then typically every morning I wake up and find the most outrageous things, the things that make me the most angry in the news. And I look online for news and I pick out, I mean, it's hard to pick because there's so much that makes me furious. But anyway, I pick out something and I put that on Twitter. So my Twitter handle is at Dr. Carroll MD, at DrCarolemD.
Well, Dr. Carroll, I appreciate you coming on here today. And you kind of shed light on some different topics that, you know, normally we don't do here on these episodes. Don't you think, Randy?
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to make a pun here, but it's nice to have somebody get into our heads or into the heads of the public and kind of expose what's really going on.
Well, so do you, Dr. Carroll, do you go around the country? Do you give seminars? Do you go out and do public appearances? There's everything. Yeah. Is it on a couch in an office?
Well, I mean, I do see patients, of course, but, I have, you know, I've decreased my practice, to some degree because of writing books and because of doing interviews and speaking. And, you know, I'm so passionate about trying to fix America. But I do, you know, you have to see a certain number of patients to keep your license and to also to be a good expert witness, because that's one of the things that they ask, you know, are you just a hired gun or do you actually treat patients and do you know about the things that you're talking about? So I do see a significant enough number of patients. But, you know, like one of the things that happened not too long ago that sort of encapsulates why I'm so passionate about, you know, fixing America is, did you hear about how there were pictures in the white paintings in the White House by Norman Rockwell? And I don't know, this past year, Biden took down those pictures. And he put up other pictures, I think pictures of himself or something. But the point is that he took down the pictures of traditional America, what America was like when it was healthy and happy and, you know, on the right path. Mm-hmm. And he put up something else. It's kind of similar to how he wants us to forget 9/11. He wants us to forget what America once was.
I can see walking down the halls of the White House right now. There's pictures of Zelensky on both sides in his leather outfit with he's doing his dancing, you know,
his high heels.
In his high heels. I bet that's what Joe replaced the Rockwell paintings with. If I were guessing, I would say they're of Zelensky.
And I bet there's a picture of Obama in that.
I bet so too. Probably not. Well, we better stop there. I was going to say how Obama was going to be pictured, but we might get censored even more, get kicked off social media. Well, Dr. Carroll, thank you so much for coming on here. Excuse me.
You're very welcome.
And shedding new light today. We appreciate this. And keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for taking a stand in your profession. I know it's not always easy in the medical profession to take a stand like you're taking. And when you add Beverly Hills on top of that, it's even kind of a double whammy. So in California. So just thank you so much for joining us here and, you know, stay in the fight, keep spreading truth and just keep waking people and patients up if you would.
You're very welcome.
All right. Thank you so much. And for our viewers, if you would please go out there, like, share, subscribe, follow us on all the social media channels. Man, I'm getting all choked up, man. Golly. Go out there, like, follow, subscribe, share on all the social media channels. And we appreciate you for being here today on another awesome episode of Patriots the Grit. Take care. We'll see you on the next episode. Thanks for watching another exciting episode of Patriots with Grit. We want to keep you informed, so if you would, just go over to patriotswithgrit.com and give us your first name and your email so we can keep you up to date. Also, be sure to subscribe, like, and share so we can keep bringing you truth. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.